Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be with you once again today right here on WMAF. Those of you listening in Madison, we welcome you back. If you're a first-time listener, we invite you to stay tuned. You've been listening to the gospel in song. We want to bring you now the gospel directly from the Word of God as well. And if you are not a Christian and you wonder why all the hoopla and why all the happiness and why all the joy and why all the peace that gives us assurance, please stay tuned to this broadcast. I believe the Lord will speak to your heart today because I believe the Holy Spirit is so active in our generation. When the Word of God is preached, I believe two great things happen. I believe the enemy of our soul will fight us tooth and toenail. But I believe the mighty Holy Spirit becomes extremely active as God's Word is preached. And I believe the devil will lose that battle if you will decide and determine in your heart that you're going to give God an opportunity to speak to you. Amen. And you're going to have an ear to hear today. The devil will always lose the battle when the Holy Spirit rises up, and I believe he's rising up. So we're just going to pray today that you will be an attentive, receptive hearer of the Word of God, not just in your ears, but in your heart. Because if it gets in your heart, it'll bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's according to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. So we're grateful today for our return listeners. Any one of you that want to find out more about this ministry, if you would type in Pastor Robert A. Venable, V as in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E, on your computer, it will take you to our homepage here in Tampa, Florida. I've been pastor of the Holy Church of God for now 36 years and counting. And we have seen God bless and move wonderfully in our lives and in our congregation. We've seen great mountain peaks of glory and victory. We've been in deep valleys, but there was still glory and victory, praise God, because the Lord is the Lord of the valleys as much as he is the mountaintops. You can't really say that until you look back on it and you see how he brought you through it all. And he's still faithful to all who keep their trust in him. So today we're going to try to encourage your faith and that trust in him as we go to the scripture to speak to you on the subject of Christ in you and you in Christ. Praise God. I want to read from the Lord's Prayer. Now, don't go to Matthew. We call that the Lord's Prayer, but in reality, it is the pattern prayer for us to pray. The Bible said that the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's where we get the group of teachings on the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, that's how we're to pray. Hallowed be thy name. This is Jesus' prayer for us before he ascended to the Father. This is what Jesus asked God concerning those who have trusted Christ. It's in John's Gospel 17, verse 20 through 24. Listen to verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, Jesus speaking, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That means every Christian friend down through time that would believe on Jesus because the word of God is preached. We're preaching what Jesus taught and what the apostles taught. Amen. So those that come to Christ through the truth that is found in the word of God. Amen. Listen, this is who he's praying for. All of us that trust in Christ. Listen to verse 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you've sent me. And the glory which you gave me have I given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. And have loved them as you have loved me. That is incredible. But listen, it goes on. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may be behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Friend, I want to declare to you today that on the authority of Scripture, if you are a Christian, you're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You are a new creation. You are the resident of a new kingdom. You are the spiritual heir of untold riches. You are part of a royal family. You are set apart for a divine purpose. You are in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is in you. It is a mystery, when understood, constitutes the true riches of the Christian faith. You know, we've been talking about a true and authentic Christianity here on this broadcast. We've been talking about true prosperity. We've been talking about true riches now. Praise God. Listen, this mystery, when it is understood, of you in Christ and Christ in you, is the real riches that we are promised in the Scriptures, and it goes so far beyond the silver and gold of this world. Doesn't mean God won't bless you. He'll bless your socks off. It does mean that the things of this world are going to pass away, but what we have and hold in Christ Jesus, that is eternal. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1 and verse 27 says it this way, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I like it from the paraphrase. It said, For it has pleased God to tell his people that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. For this is the secret. Christ lives in you. And this is your assurance that you will share in his glory. Praise God. To the world, we as Christians are a mystery wrapped in an enigma. That word enigma means one that is puzzling and ambiguous or inexplicable. In plain language, to the world, we are strange ducks. A.W. Tozer got to the heart of this mystery when he wrote that Christians are crazy in roots of righteousness. Listen to what he said. I mean, in the eyes of the world. Praise God. I used to say, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Listen to this. A.W. Tozer says a real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he has never seen, talks familiarly with every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another, empties himself in order to be full, admits he's wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strong when he's the weakest, richest when he's the poorest, and happiest when he feels worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passes knowledge. Ah, friend, a Christian is a strange duck because he's living for another world. He's looking toward another kingdom. He literally sees him that is invisible through the eye of faith. Praise God. Amen. The Apostle Paul said that Christ is God's mystery in Colossians 2 and verse 2. The good news we share with the world is the mystery of Jesus Christ. Paul uses the word mystery not as we do in our day, but in the context of his day and age. The word mystery in Scriptures means a secret, a truth undiscoverable, except by divine revelation. It is a fact that cannot be understood in detail without divine help. It cannot be known by natural abilities and mental powers. It was a truth that was hidden in the counsels of God down through the ages of time and generations until God, in His grace, chose to make it known to mankind by divine revelation. The Apostle Paul says, "The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to His saints." It was concealed from the angels and men until God revealed it. The only way of knowing this mystery is through a self-revelation of God to man. God revealed a great mystery to the Apostle Paul. God made it visible or known to man. Listen to Colossians chapter 4. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. Without praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." As Spurgeon noted, "Oh, the riches of the grace of God, which it hath pleased the Father to impart to us in Christ Jesus." Christ is the mystery, the riches, and the glory. He is all this. He is all this among us Gentiles. And we are made heirs of God through Him. All things are ours in Christ our Lord. The essence of this mystery, friend, is Christ Himself in His person. It is Christ in all His glorious riches, actually dwelling through His Holy Spirit in the inner lives of His people. Another writer noted, "Yes, Christians are different, but it's encouraging to know we're in good company." Can you imagine Christ in all His glorious riches actually dwelling through the Holy Spirit in our lives right now? God's goal is to make us all, make us in all aspects just like Jesus Christ. God is at work. Make no mistake about it. He's sovereign. He's busy changing lives. And the way He does it is always a mystery. I can't tell you how the old camp meeting song used to lyrically impart. I can't tell you the how, and I can't tell you the why. But we'll know all about it in the by and by. Praise God. Amen. I can't tell you how God saved me. I know what He did in order to save me through His Son on the cross and the shed blood of Jesus. But I can't tell you how God convicted me. I know the Holy Spirit was the agent He used. But I can't tell you how. I can't tell you why He loved me enough to give His Son for me. But I'll understand it better in the by and by. Praise God. But I know He did. Praise the Lord. A.T. Robertson said, "This dwelling of Christ in you is the central fact of Christianity, and so constitutes the hope of glory." Let me tell you some things that means. When Jesus comes to indwell you, listen to this. Christ in you means that you belong to Him, and you are justified and accepted in the Beloved. Christ in you, accepted by faith alone, means that you have become Christ-possessed. When Jesus is living in you, the law has nothing more to say to you. It can no longer condemn you because God has declared you acquitted. You have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, Christ in you means that you can know Him intimately. Christ in you means Christ experienced in all His power. Christ in you fills your life with His holy presence and power. That which the law can never do, Christ does simply by indwelling you. Oh, friend, church isn't boring. It isn't just a scholastic event where you learn Scripture. It is an opportunity to worship a God who is present in the midst of his people to be worshiped and honored. You know, Jesus taught, where two or more of you believers gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You say, preacher, he lives in each one of us as Christians. When we assemble, he's in our hearts. Yes, he is. But when we come together for the specific purpose of exalting him, worshiping him, hearing his word, heeding his word, collectively and corporately, there is a manifest presence of God to us. Ah, church isn't boring when you go there to have a God encounter. Hallelujah. If you just come to see me, oh, what a disappointment that would be. Amen. And I'm going to say that on behalf of every God-fearing pastor out there. If you just see that preacher and you don't encounter God, you don't somehow sense the presence of Jesus as we worship. Church is just going through the motions. It can become routine and ritualistic. But if we come to church expecting God to show up and God to show out, praise God, amen, then church becomes something we look forward to. It was more than just going through motions and religious duties to David. He said, and even in the Old Covenant, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. He got in proximity to the temple, to that was behind the veil. He knew God was very near in that place. And he loved to be in that place where he felt near to God. Friend, every time we go to church, we ought to feel near to God, close to his presence. Praise the Lord. Christ in you means that you serve a new master, a new Lord, and you have a new life. Christ in you is his sovereign rule in your life. Christ in you is Christ's scepter from the center of your being over every facet of your personality. Christ in you is his power bringing every thought into captivity to himself. Christ in you means the imperial sovereignty of Jesus Christ over your life. I'm telling you, friend, this is shouting ground. We find our freedom by being in submission to his sovereign rule over our lives. Hallelujah. Christ in me means I bow to no other God. Hallelujah. Christ in me means that he is now the Lord of my life, and I love to have it that way. Because Christ lives in us, we can become progressively more like him. Through the indwelling of Jesus Christ, we have the means that he can fill us with his wonderful presence. Christ in us transforms us until we begin to become like Christ. You know, he uses his Spirit. He uses his Word. But it begins when Jesus lives and abides within our life. When Christ enters to our lives and we yield to his presence, he transforms, he elevates us to his likeness. Paul declared it this way, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. When Jesus enters, he sanctifies, he sets us apart for his own glory. That's why the Word can work in us. That's why the Holy Spirit can transform, because Jesus has come to take up residence in our hearts and in our lives. Christ in you means his power in you. We were without spiritual strength until Christ came into our lives. We were dead in trespasses and sins. His presence in our life means that spiritual victory is guaranteed. I want to say that again. We need to acknowledge that Christ in us is the hope of glory. It's the down payment on heaven. Praise God. Amen. Listen, friend, if Jesus can live in your heart and your life, and feel at home and comfortable within us because the blood of Jesus has cleaned us so clean that the very holiest persons of heaven can be just as at home in our hearts as in that holy city and that holy place. I can't present myself that clean before God. But the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, can present us in that condition. You know, they were following Jesus and everybody wanted to touch him. Not just to get next to some spiritual celebrity, but, oh, virtue flowed from him. The sick were healed when they touched him. Praise God. Amen. This was so mighty. They enthralled him. The throngs of people enthralled him. They wanted to reach out and touch him. And they were, when the disciples were really kind of aggravated because they said, Lord, how are you going to manifest yourself to us and not unto the world? And you know, this crowd of people always crowding in. And he said, if any one of you, and any person for that matter, will hear my word and heed it and keep my Father's commandments, I and my Father will come to him and we will make our abode with him. God the Father, God the Son, through God the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Oh, friend of mine, the greatest persons of heaven have come to indwell us when we accept Jesus. And you think you're just, there's a misconception that you're just going to have to start living right, turn over a new leaf, and you're just going to have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and live that life that is right. And then when you ponder it, you wonder if you can do it, and you give up before you even get started and say, why become a Christian? Why try to follow Christ? I'd only fail. I'm just me, and I'm the way I am, and I can't make a commitment I can't keep, and I won't even try. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Seen too many of them. Listen, friend, if you really genuinely repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your life, he's going to come in. The Father's going to come in. The Holy Spirit's going to come in. And what you couldn't do in yourself, you'll be able to do. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about a life that is lived in a different direction. I'm talking about making a 180-degree turn and beginning to walk in that new direction. Why? Because you have become super sanctified and you are sinlessly perfect. No, because you have a commitment to follow Christ and the Lord has come to live in you that he might live the Christian life through us. Praise God. Paul said, it's not me that live. It's Christ that lives in me. He's come to take up residence. We used to sing on Sunday morning, love is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, because the King is in residence there. I've never been to London, to England. I've never been to the royal chambers where the Queen lives. But they tell me that there is a flag when she's on a trip, when she's gone somewhere. The flag is not flying at her residence, but when the Queen is in her residence, there is a flag flying saying that the Queen is in residence. Praise God. And love, the love of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the person of Jesus is a flag flown high in the castle of my heart. And it tells the world that the King is in residence there. Praise God. Oh, I want to bring glory to my King. I want to bring honor to my King. My victory is all because, not just that I am forgiven, but because Jesus has come to indwell me. The Father has come to indwell me. I heard one preacher say one time, descriptive of the indwelling life of God through the Spirit of God. He said, ladies, I have never been pregnant, but I believe I know what it feels like because I've got life kicking around on the inside of me. Praise God. Amen. I used to watch my firstborn son, who is now in middle age, but I used to watch him in the womb, not through x-rays or sonograms. I used to watch him kick around inside. I watched my wife with bobby pins sitting on her stomach in those last weeks of pregnancy, and he would give a big kick and bobby pins would go flying everywhere. We called him Rumble Rump. Still do sometimes. Praise God. Amen. I want to tell you something. Amen. When Jesus comes to indwell you, this is not just practicing some kind of ancient, old, dusty, musty religious creed or ritual. This is a life that God Himself comes to abide within us. Praise the Lord. When Christ comes in, amen, we have the assurance of victory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Christ in you means His power in you. We were without spiritual strength until Jesus came into our lives. We were dead in sins, but now victory is guaranteed. And number six, Christ in us is true riches. Spiritual blessings that far surpass the transient riches of a fallen world. Christ in you means we're spiritually rich. We were in spiritual poverty till Jesus came in. And now we have all the riches of Christ Jesus. We are rich because He is rich. Praise God. I like Luke 16:11. I'm just going to, for time's sake, read it directly from the Amplified. Therefore, if any of you have not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, who will entrust you with the true riches? Understanding, true riches is essential to effective evangelism. The awesome value of the blood of Jesus. The awesome value of eternal life. The indescribable joy of knowing Jesus intimately. The sobering truth that all men will live forever somewhere. The inestimable worth of the human soul. The value of being truly saved. These are the true riches. Christ in you means that you are going to live in heaven forever. That death will not defeat you or stop you at all. And that you don't have to fear eternal banishment and eternal punishment. Nothing that this world can offer, all of the gold and silver in it, can't be compared with the life that we possess because of Jesus Christ. Christ in you means you share His glory now and forever. It means honor and glory. He glorifies the place where He dwells, even for a moment. If Christ comes into your heart, His whole court comes with Him. Rejoice, for you have Him as a holy guest. People who value and love Him cannot ever be happy without Him. Praise the Lord. Oh, friend of mine, Jesus said, Father, I want you to be in me and I to be in you. I want them to be in us just like we have that relationship one with the other. And we have that opportunity and privilege today. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a mighty, heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival where the Church of Jesus begins to get so excited about Christ in us and us in Christ. Not something new, not something else, not something different, but something we possess from the onset of our Christian walk. When you receive Jesus, friend, He comes in. And when He comes in, He says, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. And then I'll take you to live with me, age without end. That's what the gospel is all about. If you don't know Jesus, would you bow your head right now? Say, Jesus Christ, I confess every sin. I can't change myself. But I believe you can change me from the inside out, and I want that change. Come in, Jesus. Indwell me. Save me. Seal me. Ah, friend, come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. Thank you.